Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
In the story of Moses, there's a lot of unrealistic events or things that happen. And I think for a lot of people who enter into Christianity or have been in Christianity and they don't understand why it's not working for them, it's maybe because they think that they're expecting a life like Moses' story. And one of the girls in youth once said that, and it's always stuck with me, that you can have an eyes open or an eyes closed faith. And eyes open means that you have to see things happen, like miracles and all of that, in front of you to believe that God is real. And eyes closed is where you don't have to see those. And in youth, we talked about these for a little while and saying how it's good to have both eyes open and eyes closed faith. But what really got to me was that people coming into Christianity or being in it are expecting a completely eyes open faith. And I believe that through the story of Moses, we're given a guy who stands up for God and what he believes in and what he's been told to do through faith. Because you don't just listen to a tree that's on fire but not burning for no reason. Because honestly, if that was me, I would be like, see ya, I'm getting out of here. No, thank you. Because through Moses' story, it shows that faith is not simple. It takes sacrifice and it always takes that leap of faith. But a lot of people don't realize the sacrifice that it takes to take that leap of faith. So for me, in my personal journey of growing in faith, it's been the biggest roller coaster I can ever tell you about. And I said that in my year 6 graduation speech, and I tell you, it's gotten more crazy from there. High school's not easy. Life is not easy. And not all the time is everything going to be easy. And for me, what made me so reluctant and curious about jumping into my relationship with God was that I had no idea what was going to happen. To be perfectly honest, I wasn't willing to sacrifice what I thought were amazing friends, and even though I'd get in a lot of trouble, I wasn't willing to sacrifice my sense of belonging. But all I can say is that for me, it took getting to what felt was my lowest of lows to realize that I needed to take that leap of faith. That leap of faith that my leaders always told me about, and that relationship that I'd always wanted, knowing what it was like to talk to God and never feel alone. So I took that leap of faith, and yeah, life still isn't always easy, but I can tell you that it's gotten a lot better because I know that I'm never alone and that God's always there. And I've created new friendships with people, and I realized how crazy it is, but the devil's real. And the way he moves, and you never think about these things like gossiping or lying, but for me, they really were highlighted when I took my leap of faith. So in closing, I took the time to reflect on my trip to America, which we've all heard about the car accident, but for me, that wasn't my actual highlight. It was when I heard this really cool guy speak, and his wrap up of his word wraps up my word perfectly. But he says, if you imagine your relationship with God like a house, are you willing to sacrifice every room? Or are you going to keep things hidden in that last room and tell him that you're not willing to let them go? But what you really don't realize is what's waiting on the other side of that door is a happier and easier life with God. So are you willing to open up that door and sacrifice everything that you have and take that leap of faith?
Good morning, church. My name is Fraser, and today I'm also speaking on faith. I want to take you to Hebrews 11, verse 1, and it says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. And when I was reading this, this passage, it became so apparent and true that when we have faith in someone, we have confidence in them. And when I think about God, have faith in him, I do have faith for what will happen because I know whatever I want or am praying for, God has my best interests at heart and he's able to give me whatever I want. Not only that, but it is why it gives me assurance about things I cannot see because God has been into my future and he knows what's in store for my life. So when I say to God that I have unconditional faith in him, I'm telling God that no matter how much I want to do things my way, I promise I'm going to follow his plans for my life instead. Not my ways, God's ways. Because I know that God's ways are the best for me and that it will fulfill me. So trust God. Trust God are the two single syllable words that you've heard forever, but you will discover as time passes how difficult they are to obey. Trust God. Of course, I have absolutely no way of knowing what the future holds for you. You may lose your home and everything in a fire. You may be diagnosed with cancer, not cured. You may lose your dreams, your hopes. You may lose a relationship that you have cultivated over the years. The reality is that life is a battle and that all losses are painful. Sometimes you pray for something or someone so hard, yet it doesn't happen the way you wanted. There also will be unanswered questions such as, Why isn't God healing my father, and why did my loved one have to leave? Some things are just not going to make sense, but I can tell you God wouldn't have allowed it if he wasn't going to bring good out of it. You may not see it at the time, but God knows what he's doing and when to do it, since God's timing is always perfect. He has your best interests at heart. It's not random, it's a part of his plan. So, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. All your heart, all your ways, trust in him. But Fraser, what about when things aren't going our way and our prayers aren't being answered, when our problems aren't turning around and we aren't seeing favor? Too often we get discouraged and we think, God, why aren't you doing something? You can see I'm being mistreated, my health isn't good, I work so hard but I still didn't get that promotion. We think when something changes, we'll be happy. When I meet the right person, when my health improves, when we have a child, then we'll have a good attitude. No, because that's conditional trust. God, if you meet my demands, if you answer my prayers the way I want on my timetable, then I'll be my best. It doesn't work like that. And the problem with conditional trust is there will always be things we don't understand. Something that's not happening fast enough, it didn't work out the way I wanted. If I would have conditional trust, I would have gotten upset, bitter, God, why didn't you help me? The truth is, God, why didn't you answer my prayers? The truth is, God did answer my prayers, it just wasn't the way I wanted. So, are you mature enough to accept God's answers, even though they're not the ones that you were hoping for? God is a sovereign God, right? We're not going to understand everything that happens. Real faith is trusting God when life doesn't make sense, because God doesn't take us in a straight line, because there'll be twists, turns, the disappointments, the loss, the bad breaks, they're all a part of his plan. But yet again, if you have conditional trust, you'll get discouraged and think, why is this happening? I'm going the wrong way. But you need to realize and understand that God is still directing your steps. So, trust him when you don't understand. Trust him even if it feels like you're going in the wrong direction. Living worried, frustrated, disappointed, that takes our passion. It steals our joy and it can keep us from seeing God's favor. A perfect example of putting faith and trust in God is taking a look through Abraham's life in Genesis 15. Now let me give you a brief snapshot of what was happening at the time. God had told Abraham to pack up all his belongings and possessions and leave home. Abraham obeyed God and left home. Now for this reason, God told Abraham that he would get what he wanted, which was having a family larger than the number of stars in the sky. Now before I continue talking about the rest of the story, I'm going to take you to Genesis 15 verse 1, which is prior to Abraham leaving. God is speaking to Abraham and says, "Do not be afraid, Abraham, for I will protect you and your reward will be great." Then it goes on to say in Genesis 15 verse 6, "And Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith." So as we know now, Abraham had faith in the Lord, and because of his faith, he was willing to pack up all his possessions and leave his home, since he had the assurance of God when God said, "Do not be afraid, for I will protect you." Not only that, but God tells Abraham in Genesis 15 verse 1 that his reward will be great if he does indeed have faith in him. In everything you do, have faith in God, just as Abraham did. Now, I'm not quite sure if you're aware of this, but Abraham and his wife Sarah were getting pretty old and they still didn't even have one child. Yet Abraham continued to believe in what God said. Abraham said, "Sometimes I don't understand, but I still trust that God's promise will come true." Abraham had his first child at the age of 86, just as God had promised. However, it was not with his wife Sarah who was unable to give birth. When Abraham was 100 years old, God said to him, "You will have a second child with Sarah," who at the time was 90 years old herself, so they were pretty old. When Abraham heard this at first, he bowed down to the ground and laughed and said to himself in disbelief, "Lord, how could I become a father at the age of 100? And how can Sarah have a baby when she is 90 years old?" Little did Abraham know that that year he would be having his second son with his wife Sarah, who couldn't even give birth prior to her turning 90 years old. But it was faith that Sarah was able to have a child though she was barren and too old. It was by faith that Abraham would have his second child and go on to have several more. And it was faith that Abraham's family would be as large as the amount of stars in the sky. It was Sarah and Abraham's faith in God which led them to being rewarded just as God had promised from the beginning. We were singing a song on Friday night at youth, and the lyrics are saying along the lines of, "Allow God to fight your battles." And it's so true, since if you put faith in God and allow him to fight your battles, then God can use you. and you will live it. You will live a fulfilling life. And let's be honest, life is a battle and we need God. So I encourage you to go to God with an open heart and pray and put your worries on Him. Because I believe that in order to trust God and have faith in Him, we first need to come to Him with an open heart. God can even work with a broken heart, as I've learned over the last few days. But the only heart God can't work with is a closed heart. You must open your heart and allow God to search your heart, as Michael Woese says, in order to have faith in Him. And understand that when you have faith in God, He will test your faith. With that being said, I believe that sometimes the closed doors, the disappointments, the struggles, they're all a simple test. Since I believe that God does test our faith, as I said before. God wants to see if we'll trust Him when we don't understand it, when life doesn't make sense. We have to show Him that we don't have to have the house to be happy, that if we don't have the baby, we're not going to live sour and bitter. For example, if you were praying for your health to improve and you came to God and said, "Look, God, I really want my health to improve, but regardless if it improves or not, I'm still going to honour you and I'm still going to be my best." When God sees that you are putting your problems before Him and having faith in Him, God will give you back what you were willing to give up. Are you living frustrated because your prayers aren't being answered the way you want? Your plans aren't working out. God is in control. Take the pressure off now because God is actually in control. He knows what's best for you, even though you're not always going to understand it. If you did, it wouldn't take any faith. I'm going to ask you to trust Him unconditionally. And if you'll do this, I believe and declare that God is going to work out His plan for your life. He's going to open the right doors, bring the right people in, turn negative situations around, and take you to the fullness of your destiny.
I don't know whether I should just sit down now after those two. I just want to say thank you guys for getting up. I know how nervous I was for today, so you guys are so brave. Thank you for sharing your heart so authentically with us. I think God is so cool because we didn't speak about what we were sharing today together. I just gave Fraser and April a topic and I said, just speak on something on faith. And it's so cool because I'm going to highlight a lot of the points that Fraser and April shared today. I love that Fraser shared Psalm 51 because I had it here in my notes. It says, "A broken and contrite heart, O God, You will not despise." And another version says, "You will not despise my tenderness as I humbly bow at your feet." And I just wanted to say, if anyone walked in here this morning with a broken heart, God will not despise that. God can work with that, but God can't work with a closed heart. If you're walking in here tender today, then I pray that you would open your heart up to God and just allow Him to deposit something in you this morning. Because the only heart He can't use is a closed heart. So as you heard by what Fraser and April shared, I chose to touch on faith this morning because I think that we can learn a lot from our youth's perspective in the way that they see God. And definitely as leaders, we definitely do. But just a disclaimer, I'm only 22, so my life experience is very, very small. But I know that as you go through life, the things you start needing to have faith for grow, right? But the Bible says that God is good, and He doesn't give us anything more than we can't handle, even though it doesn't feel like that sometimes. It actually feels a lot like I can't handle anything, but that's another thing altogether. He will empower us and He will sustain us through our trials and testings if we allow Him to. And I'm definitely living that in my own life at the moment. So as I share with you this morning, you should know that I'm speaking to myself as well as sharing what I think God's put on my heart. And my learning of God at the moment is so in line with the ground that God's trying to break in us as a church family as well. And so on that note, I wanted to share a vision that God gave me a couple weeks ago. I was sitting on a chair, and it was as if God was sitting next to me. And I knew in my spirit that He was about to press play on the TV screen of a life that I could have lived if I just trusted Him more and if I had more faith in who He was. And it broke something inside of me. I never wanted to think that God would ever play me a life I could have lived for Him if I just trusted what He said in this book. And I didn't want to think that when I got to the end of my life, God would say to me, "Oh, Jade, my child, if only you trusted me more, I could have taken you here. And in this area of your life, if you just had more faith in who I was and who I said I was, I could have taken you there." And I just never wanted to, did something inside of me. I was like, I don't want my lack of faith to get in the way of all that God has for me. And it wasn't a negative thing. It wasn't what God wasn't willing to give me. It was just things that I could have accessed, a snapshot of a life that I could have accessed if I just trusted Him more. That's all it was. It wasn't a negative vision at all. We can get onto the balancing beam, we can hang on for dear life, or we can actually get up and do something and let God use us. But either way, it starts with us, right? And so my closing encouragement this morning is this. Faith is a fight. 1 Timothy 6 verse 12 tells us to fight the good fight of faith. It's a good fight, right? So this morning, I encourage you and myself, do not lie down, get up and fight. And the Bible says that when you've done everything you can to stand, stand firm then. I want to read from Hebrews 11. Essentially, it's referred to as the Hall of Fame. And it tells us that it's impossible to please God without faith. And I think that's for three reasons as I've been journeying my faith journey. I think one, because no faith means we don't know the nature, the character, or the heart of God. Because why would you put your faith in something you don't know? I think no faith means we don't fully trust Him. Because why would you put your faith in something you don't trust? And number three, no faith means we don't fully believe His promises to be true. But I want to read this morning about the men and women who were obedient to God and achieve what He had set out for them to do through faith. It was by faith that Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. She believed that God would keep His promise. It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. It was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. It was by faith that the people of Israel went right through the Red Sea as though they were on dry ground. It was by faith that the people of Israel marched around Jericho for 7 days and the walls came crashing down. How much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of faith of all the prophets. But by faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned into strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. All of these people earned a good reputation because of their faith. Sounds like a fight to me, right? And I think we should take note of their weaponry because it sounds to me like they conquered. And my question to you this morning is, what about you and me? Do we hunger to be men and women of God full of faith? How much do we trust God this morning is my question. We're all given a measure of faith, even at times when it feels like it's non-existent. We're all given a measure, but what are we going to do with it? Is the question. And I know that our church has been confronted with this over the last couple weeks. I really believe that God wanted to strip a few things off us this morning. Some of the things that maybe hold us back from exercising or growing our faith. Because it's not easy, right? And so I hope that that's okay with you. I wrote these points to myself, as I said, because I'm still learning. But as I go through them, I've just got 4 points. I think the first reason is we care too much what people think. What are people going to think of me? Will their opinion change? What are people going to say? I feel like for some of us, the approval and validation of man matters too much to us. Noah, it had never rained before, and God told Noah to build a boat on dry ground. The people around him ridiculed him. They thought he was crazy. They made fun of him. They didn't believe what he was telling them. He refused to believe them. But can you imagine if Noah listened to them and thought maybe this is crazy. Yeah, maybe this is a little too radical. He didn't. And it just goes to show that I think we should stop looking to people to validate what God is clearly telling us. We need to be more concerned with being obedient to God's voice than what the voices of this world have to say or think about it, because there are a lot of them. Number two, I think we fear the process and don't remember the promise. I think there's some of us this morning that can't let go of situations, relationships, people, hang-ups, circumstances in our lives, because we fear the process. We fear the work involved. We fear that maybe there may not be something good waiting for me on the other side. Or it could be we think we believe it for someone else, but will God really come through for me? That's another whole ball game. It's the unknown that we're afraid of. God asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. But what I find interesting is that the Bible says Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son. We have to receive and believe his promises first before we can exercise our faith. 2 Peter verse 1, and because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. And Abraham believed God's great and precious promises to him, right? He believed that God was good. And he obeyed him. Not only was what God was asking him to do didn't make sense, but it would have been the hardest thing that Abraham could ever have done. And I believe God is saying to us this morning, stop fearing the process and live by the promise. Receive my promise first. And we all have promises from God. The Bible is full of it. How nice is God? He's given us promises that we can build our life on. Number three, some of us think if it doesn't make sense, it can't be God. That is so not my experience. And I'm 22. God told the people of Israel to march around the walls of Jericho for 7 days, and the walls came crashing down. Imagine if God had promised them, the walls are going to come down, you just listen, just walk around the wall 7 times, and they just disregarded that because it doesn't make sense to their head. I would rather trust what God was telling me than trust what my intelligence thought about it. And I think this morning, too many of us are trying to work out God with our heads. He doesn't want your head first. He wants your heart first. I think especially me, we want to understand first, then we'll trust, when we should be trusting first in the midst of not understanding. I can definitely say I struggle with that one. Sometimes our life doesn't look like Jeremiah 29, good plans and a future full of hope. Sometimes it doesn't look like that, right? Doesn't make sense. But if we hold on to what God has promised us, he'll come through. He'll bring the walls down in our lives that need to come down. It's just his way, his will and timing. Number four, I think some of us focus on the problem. It was by faith that Sarah gave birth to a child when she was barren. But again, the Bible says she believed God would keep his promise. What if she looked to her natural circumstance? If you're believing for a healing or a shift or a miracle this morning, sometimes we can magnify the problem so much that we lose sight of God altogether. And I really believe that God just wanted to give us a fresh reminder of how big and grand and mighty he is, that he's the creator of this universe. Some of us just need to have a revelation of that this morning. Just a fresh reminder. Sometimes we forget. And so if you struggle with any of the four points that I mentioned this morning, and I struggle with them all. If you struggle with the fear of man and it's stopping you from living a radical life of faith, I believe God wants to break some of that off of us this morning. Two, if you fear the process and don't have enough faith in the promise, I believe God wants to remind you of some of his promises that he's given us. Or three, if God's ways shake your faith, I believe God wants to give you his eyes for a moment this morning. Or four, you need a fresh revelation of who God is so you can take your eyes off the problem. And I believe God wants to reveal himself to you in new ways. I would encourage you this morning not to leave without taking it to God and telling him what part of the faith fight you struggle with, right? Because it's better that way. Like I said, he can use any heart, just not a closed one. And so if we don't come, we don't respond to him, what do we expect him to do? All faith is seeing things from God's perspective, right? It's just an outlook. It's just a problem in our life, a circumstance in our lives from God's perspective. How does God see the problem? The Bible says, by faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command. What we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. And so we come to know him by it. It takes faith to come to him. But then we need to live every day by it. It doesn't stop there. And I believe Matthew 9 verse 29, it says, according to your faith, let it be done to you. And I believe God is asking us this morning, you personally sitting in the seats, what do you want to see me do in your life? What do you need from me this morning? Because according to your faith, it'll be done to you. And I wanted to encourage you with this little analogy I heard the other day. I was listening to a podcast on truth. And the guy said, your experience with Jesus can be like the two same ways you can choose a coat. He said, you can take your ruler out, take down all the measurements, analyze every inch of it, and then you can choose based on observation only if it's something that's going to fit you, or you can try it on. And I think both are important. I think we have to go through the questions, we have to go through the objections, but there comes a point where the only way that you're going to experience that is if you step out in faith. And so I urge you this morning, the only way you're going to see God's face is if you bring your faith this morning. And so I urge you to walk towards him, because I promise you he'll meet you exactly where you need him to. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, and that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. We come to know him by it, but we must live it every day. It's going to look different for everybody. Every person may need something different from God this morning, but he knows exactly what it is.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.